if I had a magic genie, how would I request my wish? Because imagine Aladdin said, I don't want to be a social outcast. I don't want to be poor and miserable. And the genie, sure, now you're dead.
It's as if we've been socialized to respect fear over self-esteem, to respect others at the expense of ourselves, to respect silence more than the truth. With time, we wonder why we can't breathe.
You mentioned the choices that we have. You could just shut up. So you do have choices.
But wait until you have kids and all that passion will go away and your wife will become no different than a washing machine. What?
I'm married to a coward.
Like, what can you do when something like that happens? Hello, Ricardo.
Hey, Leopold. How are you?
I'm good, good. How are you today?
Great. Amazing.
So today we're talking about speaking up, the value and the importance of speaking up. That's a terrific topic, whether we should speak up or not, and what's in it for us to speak up or not. But before we dive in, I have a major announcement to make for our listeners and friends. Our newest online program is now live, and I would like to invite you to check it out. Just go to novelphilosophy.academy. Novel, that's N-O-V-E-L, philosophy.academy. The program we're launching is called Supersonic Creativity, and it's about boosting your creative thinking using your conversations. That's right. Imagine that. Instead of getting lost with complicated tools, brainstorming, and all of that to expand your creative thinking, we've designed a framework for you to turn your conversations into your fieldwork so you can practice and boost your creative thinking, regardless your profession or subject of study. So go to novelphilosophy.academy and check the course, Supersonic Creativity. And we'll also put a link in the show note below. And don't tell anyone else, but we're offering a special coupon for your ears only. So look at the episode description and see all the details there. Cool. So, Ricardo, we've got today an undisputed idea, or the way I'm thinking about it is an undisputed approach to the value of speaking up. So can you summarize it for us?
I should start saying that it's an approach I generally agree with and I'm inclined towards.
So for once, you and I will be in dispute.
yeah, and it's important to do this. So it's the idea that you should always speak up, no matter what. Who can disagree with that, right? You need to speak up in order to say you disagree with something your boss is saying. You need to stand up when something is not going right in the relationship or in the workplace. So it's an important thing to do for anything you might request the other person do for you.
Yeah.
But more fundamentally, it's an issue of integrity. It's an issue of being firm towards your convictions and communicating that to others.
Okay, so you're saying that it's important to speak up is an undisputed notion that you'd like to challenge. But also I think, you know, at the other end, you have the idea that the speech is silver, but silence is golden. And the whole idea is that sometimes you need to remain silent. Sometimes you need to hone your listening abilities and listening skills. So it seems to me like we have two opposing ideas in a sense. And are we saying that we want to challenge both these ideas?
I think it's fair to say that many people would recognize that keeping silent when you know an injustice is going on, or not necessarily an injustice, but something you deeply disagree with is going on in the situation you're in, it's a concession. It's a form of appeasement. And it's right to think that you're losing something about yourself, you're losing something, you're losing your values when you don't raise your voice in those situations.
Yeah.
So that's why my heart is inclined towards saying, yes, you should always speak up no matter what happens but there.
Sometimes it becomes complicated. And I'll give you an example, one that I've thought about a couple of days ago, which is, let's say you saw a comment on social media, or you know what, to make it even worse, let's say you saw a comment on LinkedIn, and that's a professional environment, and you thought that's injustice, and you want to comment back, you want to voice your opinion, you want to speak up. But then, right before commenting, you notice that the person who has this opinion is maybe a potential client, or could be a potential client, or is someone you don't want to appeal to as you're opposing his or her ideas. So what can you do? Should you speak up? Should you worry? Should you consider the way you speak up? It becomes problematic, I think. What would you say on that?
That's a good question. Here's the thing. I think it's a legitimate issue and a legitimate question to ask, because we do feel that conflict in those situations.
Yeah.
Especially if, I don't know, if you're young, you're starting in life, you're looking for a position in a company, and that person happens to be the HR person. So on that angle, it's natural that you would feel that tension that would prevent you from commenting back. But on the other hand, I think there's something really, really wrong about thinking that in order to be liked by someone, to be hired, or to simply have a conversation with another person, you need to compromise. You need to give something up. And I think that's a big mistake that people often make when it comes to this topic, when it comes to being assertive. They will tell you, you should be willing to compromise whenever you go into a negotiation.
Yeah.
You must be kind. No.
Yeah, you don't want to upset others. You don't want to sound rude sometimes. You don't want to risk losing people or an opportunity. Even I've been thinking about it from a company culture perspective. Like, you don't want to bring in a subject that is considered a taboo or something that everybody already agree on. Like, for example, if a company is adopting diversity and you don't understand what they mean by diversity, or you don't agree with their approach of diversity, it takes a lot of courage to stand against that.
Yeah.
It's a company's culture, and that's something that everybody is saying it's good. So, I don't know. It's tough, right?
Yeah, and this is what's problematic with the you should always speak up no matter what view. Yes, you can speak up, you can raise your voice, you can make your point, throw an assertion out there. But what if there is a big risk, you lose the job? And don't get me wrong, there are places in which you shouldn't be, eventually.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't justify for example, a Nazi young soldier. He should have... I think the idea that you're just following orders, you're just following the current, doesn't apply it in an extreme case like that. Right? I think you always have a choice, and that's really important to remember. You always have a choice. You always can go to the woods and not collaborate with the Nazi regime, or you can refuse to work in a company and begin a startup.
Yeah. And I guess choice comes with consequences. So whether you speak up or not, you have to know that there will be consequences and you have to learn how to live with these consequences. But at the same time, I think this gives us a gateway into another important aspect of speaking up, which is moving from randomness to methodology, if I can put it this way. Or moving from speaking up because I have to speak up because everybody says my voice matter, to finding a method, learning the skill of speaking up. Would you agree to that?
Yeah, and it's important to say that it is a skill, that there is a method to standing up. Because even, for Christ's sake, this episode is called How to Create the Confidence or the Courage to Be Assertive. The name might change. Yeah. But we always think about it in terms of, I don't have enough courage.
Yeah.
I didn't have enough confidence to make my point. We think about it in terms of an inclination you might have, an emotion. And I don't want to be the guy who says it, but emotions are not good guides, especially for human communication and human relationships.
Yeah, it's the idea.
Would you agree to that?
Again, it's complicated. And that's part of what I love about this topic, because from one perspective, it's about, I mean, you hear this kind of advice, speak up even when your voice is shaking. So, I mean, from one perspective, yeah. Because sometimes you're not ready to life's circumstances and you have to stand your ground. You have to speak up, even if you're not sure, even if you want to risk, I don't know, everything you have. But this cannot be a principle that you have to speak up even if your voice is shaking. Because why going there, right? Like, why not tune my voice So I'm ready. So I'm always ready to speak up. And I'm noticing like a theme here that we always discuss. Yeah, which is the idea of always staying ready, which is always preparing and developing your skill, specifically your soft skills, in order to be ready all the time for whatever is happening with you, whether you want to speak up or say the truth or, you know, anything. So yeah, and also courage is a consequence. Like, you can't, if I told you, you know what, I don't know if I can speak up, you can't tell me, you know what, be courageous, be brave and speak up. It doesn't happen this way. Right? It's something earn and I achieve. Yeah, go ahead.
But let me be the devil's advocate. Because there's something about forcing yourself, willing yourself to have the courage that makes you and then trains you over time. Perhaps you know more about this topic, but how do we deal with stage fright? Sure, we can practice at home. Let's say the speech, I need to give a speech in front of 1,000 people. I can practice in front of my mirror. I can read a book about public speaking, but it's not until I go there and I do it that I become a little better.
Yeah. There's a line by Darren Lacroix, who's one of the world champions in speaking. And I've taken some of his courses. He's outstanding. But he says his motto is stage time, stage time, stage time. And I love that. And the whole idea is that you have to be on stage every day in order to get better. So practice, 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 stage time, stage time, stage time. And I think that's very important. And it's applicable on everything else, specifically on speaking up. If you don't speak up in small things, you won't speak up in the things that matter.
That's absolutely true. Because sometimes it's not about a thing your boss is saying in a meeting, or it's not about one action that your partner or your roommate did that discomforted you. Sometimes the thing that troubles you happens over time, happens in very small, minor, unimportant things. And if you don't seize them, if you wait and wait, you will just feel resentment about that other person. You will explode. So we are constantly, or usually, between eating our words, containing ourselves from speaking up because we think it's something trivial, until one day we explode. And we ruin the relationship. But here's the thing. We've been thinking about this whole topic in terms of a conversation you want to have, but you still haven't had with another person.
Yeah.
But the most important conversation that you need to have when you want to be more assertive is with yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And guess what? We are not clear at all many of the times about what we want and how to say it.
Absolutely. And thank you for opening this up, because I read a couple of articles in preparation of this episode. And do you know what's the one thing I didn't see in any of the articles? Maybe, you know, I haven't read much. But the one thing I haven't seen is the connection between speaking up and thinking, forming clarity in your thought. I didn't see that. There's nowhere that mentions the connection between having clarity in your ideas and speaking up. And I remember in one of the previous episodes, you talked about Rosa Parks, and you said something so powerful, which is, you said, I'm sure she was preparing. She was not preparing in the sense that she knew what would happen to her and the whole problem at the bus, right? But she was thinking about it. She was thinking about the issue of racism until when something happened, she was able to speak up. And that's so powerful because... And I've been thinking about the method that we are taught, and there's no connection again between thinking and speaking. And it's as if we've been socialized to respect fear over self-esteem, to respect others at the expense of ourselves, to respect silence more than the truth. It's like we've been trained to nod and clap instead of saying no, no, no. And guess what? With time, we wonder why we can't breathe. We wonder why there's something here. We can't breathe. And what do we do when we are choking? Instead of learning how to think so we can speak up, we resort to breathing exercises. And, you know, and I'm not saying there's... You got my point. There's nothing wrong with breathing exercises. But it's not the solution for that.
No, I think there's something to them, and as there is something to action, because you don't learn simply by reading the books or practicing in front of your mirror, but by going into the situation. But you're not always in the situation. You're not always in the room, in the business room, where you need to be assertive. So I think that the first thing to consider regarding this whole topic is have a conviction.
Yeah.
Have a view. Have values.
Form your philosophy.
About the things you want. Form your philosophy. Yeah, in general. Yeah. Right? Absolutely. So if you're in a company and you're in the marketing department, you must have certain standards about what is a good marketing campaign. If you are living with a roommate, you should have clear, absolute standards about what is clean for you, what is orderly.
Yeah.
If you're in a relationship, you should have standards and clear actions and steps about love.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? I've been there. Like, let me ask you this. Have you ever went silent and regretted it? And you felt as if the words are like punching you in the mouth from inside, but you're not saying the words. I felt that many times. Yeah, and I've been in that situation, and I failed miserably because it's toxic. It's like a virus in your body and in your mind. And I remember leaving work and feeling like why didn't I tell my, you know, manager this and that? Why didn't I speak up? And next time I tried to speak up, it was also terrible because I came out very aggressive. So, and I think that's the importance here, that it's, and guess what? Maybe sometimes you have to do it. And you have, and you know what? There's so many people that know me and they haven't, you know, met me for a long time. They would still think that I'm a very aggressive person in communication and at work. Really, because I've been like that, but I changed. You know, I learned that no, this doesn't work. And I think that's the importance of moving from a direct response to, you know, whether you want to speak up or not, into thinking about it and forming a certain idea and really preparing yourself, learning the skill on how to speak up. And I'm not advocating to be diplomatic or anything like that, you know, like I think this is an issue of style. What I'm saying is know your content. If you want to speak up about diversity or sexual harassment or feminism in your organization, whatever, know the content before you speak up.
Yeah. And there is another aspect to that. So one thing is to have a conviction or have genuine questions, because you don't need to have a fully formed conviction. It sounds weird, but it's okay to not be certain about something. Yeah. As long as you're actively looking for the truth. But another aspect of that is having clarity about your very goal, your very purpose in speaking.
Mm.
Because yeah. Otherwise we just become trolls, like internet trolls, right? So you begin speaking about the people in LinkedIn who want to respond to a comment. There are people like that. Especially on Twitter, that's why I left that platform. People who are just asserting things at random, who are insulting everybody.
Mm.
But what for?
Yeah. I mean, it's not a conversation platform. It's a platform for just speaking up randomly. And sometimes it's useful, and it has been useful in many ways. But I don't know. Like, you know what? I still prefer gathering and talking to people. And that's why conversation is so important. And it brings out people's values and not just ideas as such or intellectual ideas, but it brings out their values. I want to give you an example, because you talked in the beginning about integrity. So I agree it's an issue of speaking up or not is an issue of integrity. It's an issue of assessment, of preparation. But as you said in the beginning, it's an issue of integrity. And I remember once I was sitting with a group of people and I was like newly married and my wife is sitting with me. And the whole conversation was about marriage and love and all that. And suddenly in the middle of the conversation, one person who's also married and have kids said something completely disgusting. But he said it proudly. He looked at me and he said, "You are now newly married, so you surely enjoy, you know, having sex and all that, and it sure is fun. But wait until you have kids and all that passion will go away and your wife will become no different than a washing machine."
Oh, wow.
What? Like, what can you do when something like that happens? Well, one option would be you stay silent.
And your wife was there, right?
Yeah, I was there. My wife is next to me. And we're like a large group of people. But he said it out loud. So what can you do? One, you can stay silent. You could say that you disagree and move on. You could laugh at the topic and you reduce its importance. You know, it's like a joke worthy of a drink. Or you could speak up and give that person a lecture he will never forget. And guess what? Not for him to understand, because it will take a lot of honesty of him to understand, which obviously he lacks. But I think sometimes we need to speak up because it's an issue of integrity, because we want to stand by the ideas and we want to make them concrete, right?
Right, and my, let me stop and, you there, because
yeah.
you mentioned the choices that we have, yeah. right? You could just shut up. You can just ignore it. You can just laugh. So you do have choices.
Yes.
There is no shortcut to your free will when it comes to conversation. But what will your wife think of you if you didn't say anything?
Thank you.
I'm married to a coward, right?
Yeah. And not only
I'm married
that.
To someone that doesn't respect me. So
and
that is a situation.
Who agrees to these ideas?
And who
take
agrees.
These ideas lightly, maybe.
Yeah, so that's a case of complying by your silence, of appeasement. Mm-hmm. So you still need to establish that for yourself. Neither you nor I can come and tell anyone you should speak in this situation no matter what. That's something you need to establish for yourself based on your values and your knowledge. But in your context, you needed to say something. You needed to respond back, if I understand your story well.
Yeah, and I responded harshly. And that's the only way you can respond, right? Because again, it's not about him understanding. It's about my integrity and protecting the integrity and the position of my wife. And guess what? His statement revealed that you and I cannot be friends. Right? That's the power of it. What he said revealed exactly that we don't have similar values. If you want to treat your wife this way, go ahead and do it. Nah, not me. Right. And I wrote something now while you're speaking because I think it's crucial. Mm-hmm. I think you speak up because you take ideas seriously in every aspect of your life, in everything. And I think that's the value of ideas, is that you take them seriously. Whether they are minor ideas, whether they are ideas in a party, it doesn't matter. Even if you are in a scenario where it's fun and entertaining, like a party, and someone throws a big idea, a serious idea, you gotta stop and make a point. Or stay silent, but make a point. Say it that you disagree. Again, it depends on the scenario.
The question is, how do you do that? Because, I mean, let's face it, you're just telling me you discover you don't want to be, you didn't want to be his friend. And that's fine. But do you think the reaction is essentially about responding back? Or there is something more you need to do? Some kind of work, some intellectual steps you need to take in order to address those kind of situations.
Yeah.
But you know what? This is going to take us another episode.
Yeah. Well, you know, let's do that. How about you guys stick around for next week and we take this on another level. During next week, we unpack what can we do in a situation like this, how can we decide when to speak up or not? And what work can we do to better our decision?
Yeah. So for now, this is what we have. The undisputed idea is that we should always speak up to stand our feet. I agree with that up to a point, which is, it's damn difficult. There are communicational and emotional barriers that makes it very hard to say what you really think in some situations.
Yeah.
And in some cases, you can lose something truly valuable, like your job or a friendship. But the first thing that's important to think, this is a crucial step for everything in life, is to have clarity and direction.
I would say clarity and direction about what to speak and the consequences of speaking up, which reminds me of a saying by Dr. Seuss. And he says, those who matter don't mind, and those who mind don't matter. So I think you need to have clarity also from that perspective when it comes to your relationship with other people. If they mind, well, they don't matter. Why even going through in a conversation with them? Why even considering persuading them or speaking with them? Yeah. Maybe you should change job, for example.
Do you know what is a good exercise for having more clarity and articulation about what you want and where you want to go? Is to think about that issue, your point or your need, in terms of, if I had a magic genie, how would I request my wish?
Right? I like that.
Because imagine Aladdin said, I don't want to be a social outcast. I don't want to be poor and miserable. And the genie, sure. Now you're dead. Now Aladdin is dead, right? He didn't want to be something.
Yeah.
But what he said positively.
That you want to be. Yeah.
That you want to accomplish, and yes.
What is it clearly with all the details and the specification? And we see that current theme in many of these genie movies and stories. Cool. I love that. So stick around for next week. For now, I want to thank you again for listening to Ideas on Trial. Don't forget to check our show notes, the description of the episode, so you can see the link to our program, Supersonic Creativity, and the little surprise we have for you. Have a wonderful day.